Here we go, Luke 17. We're looking at beginning in verse number 11. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." And when he saw them, he said unto them, "Go shew yourselves unto the priests." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there,' for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." And he said unto the disciples, "The days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, 'See here,' or 'See there.' Go not after them, nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day." Here we are looking at a familiar passage. I think probably most everybody in here has heard this passage or heard of this passage. And I want to look at a few things as we go back down through and look at these lepers and look at some things the Lord had to say. And the first thing in verse number 12 says, as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. The first thing I want to see is the sick. The sick. Now, leprosy is a disease of the flesh. It's a type of or a picture of sin in the Bible. And if you've heard anything about leprosy, it's a rotting, decaying, nasty disease. And it stinks. God give us a picture of what he goes through when he sees sin, when you see leprosy. When you see a rotting flesh and you smell that nasty odor, that's a nasty odor in the nostrils of God. That's what sin is to an almighty righteous God. And the sick here, they were leprous. They were, the religious crowd, they didn't have that outward disease, but they had an inward stink, amen? They had the outward appearance of being clean. And really, when you look at these lepers, they were probably about the same as the Pharisees on the inside, amen? But they had this, the Pharisees had an outward appearance of being clean, and the lepers, you notice it said they seen him, they were standing afar off. People didn't want to get close to him. They didn't want to be around him. They didn't want to catch what they had. You know, that used to be the way sin was. It used to be people were ashamed of their own sin, and they didn't want to be around the other sin. And now we want to try to lump everything together and make everybody a victim of their DNA or their genetic coding, or put it off on God and say, well, they were born that way. I'm not just talking about the LGBTQRSTUV alphabet soup crowd. I'm talking about whether it's getting to the point where they're into pedophilia or whatever they're into. Everybody wants to give them an excuse and write it off like it's just something that happens and they can't help it. And, you know, we just have to accept it. Something popped up on the internet the other day. Here I am telling myself, I'm on the internet too much, I'll be honest with you. I get on Facebook Marketplace or something like that, and then something will pop up, and this is maybe somebody you want to befriend or whatever, and I don't have friends on Facebook. I don't have very few in real life, I found out anyway. But anyway, the thing is, I opened a Facebook account to witness about Jesus Christ. I got about 10 friends on there from 14, 15, 16 years ago, and I don't accept friend requests. I don't even look for them. But every once in a while, something pops up, and I send this Baptist, if it's supposedly a Baptist preacher, and he spent all this time trashing the Baptist and trashing the Bible and trashing every preacher. I mean, preachers, if I mentioned some of them, y'all would know who they were. And just trashing them and showing little segments of videos of them and making fun of them and ridiculing the Bible. And you know, he's got talking about worship and the Easter Bunny and stuff like that, and we just don't love enough. Baptists are just hardcore. We're legalistic. We don't love people enough. We don't want anybody to have any fun. We do want to have fun. I had fun this morning. Y'all had fun this morning? Praise God, praise God. That, to me, that's fun. Easter Bunny can't touch that. You give me a basket of chocolate eggs, I'd rather praise God, amen? Now put some peanut butter in those eggs. They come up second, but no, I mean, it's about Jesus Christ. Oh, you know, the Baptists, they want to take all the fun out of everything. No, the Bible believers want you to be realistic about what life is all about. If you get Easter baskets for your grandkids, that's between you and the Lord. I'm not telling you you can't do it. I'm not telling you you're going to go to hell for it. I'm just telling you why it started, how it started, and what it's based on. You make your own decision. My job is to give you the facts the best I can about what this pagan stuff comes from. You want some fat guy trying to come down your chimney to give your people gifts? Do more, have more power to you. Get a bigger chimney, though, because he's been eating a lot of cookies. But I'm just telling you where it come from. It's not about Jesus Christ. It's about the Antichrist. Oh, the Easter Bunny. Well, he's... And look, if I got family members that hear this, they will probably not talk to me for 6 months. That's just the way it goes sometimes. The Easter Bunny and Satan Claus are just diversions away from the real Christ. And why is it that somebody mentions Jesus Christ, everybody's up in arms, and they're all bent about it? And if you had a national day of prayer and you mentioned Jesus Christ, then oh boy, the city of Richmond, the city of Eaton, the city of Gratis or wherever, they'd go, well, you can't do that. But you can put out a basket of eggs and have kids hunting them down, worshiping this pagan rabbit, and everything's fine. Or you could talk about Muhammad, everything'd be fine. You know, but here they are. People used to want to get away from sin. They didn't want anything to do with it. Here these lepers are. They're standing afar off. But you know what they knew? If they could get a hold of Jesus Christ, they could be healed. What I'm saying is, no matter what your sin is, no matter what your sin debt is, Jesus Christ paid it. He paid the debt. He paid it all. You know, it doesn't matter if it's the LBGT, RSV, double A, whatever, triple A club or whatever they got going on out there. Jesus Christ paid the debt. His blood is strong enough to cleanse everybody's sin. His blood is strong enough to get anybody to heaven. His death, burial, and resurrection is the ticket for anybody, any sinner, of any amount of sin. But here these lepers are standing afar off. Nobody wanted to be around them. They call out to Jesus Christ. He heals them up, the sick. And then we see that they're seekers. You know what they were seeking? Look at verse 13. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Now, I understand where we're at. I understand this is pre-Calvary. I understand what we're dealing with. I understand that these lepers aren't church-age saints that are born again like we are. I understand there's some differences. I understand that. But look what they did. Have mercy on us. That is the ticket to salvation. You know what that is? That's a repentant heart. We deserve these sores. We deserve filth on the inside, filth on the outside, to be applied to our account, but have mercy on us. People don't get saved by walking down the sidewalk and go, hey, wouldn't you like a little Jesus on you? Oh, I think I'll add him right to my life. I was talking to a guy the other day, and he said something about, he was wanting to buy something that I had for sale, and he said, today won't work. How about Sunday morning? I said, Sunday won't work. I'll be in church maybe Sunday afternoon. He said, well, I go to church too. He said, but I don't have to go this Sunday. And he laughed, and I thought, I have to go. They'll notice, might notice I'm missing, but I have to go. But you see, the thing is, that's a bad attitude to have, right? It's sad, really. Now, honestly, I don't know. I don't know. I can't evaluate me. You guys and the Lord can. I'm a mess. I know me better than anybody but the Lord and my wife. She probably knows me almost as good as the Lord. And she still puts up when we pray for her. But honestly, I've been to churches that I was like, I have to go. I really don't want to go. But it's the right thing to do. Or is it? Maybe find a church you like going to. Maybe find a church where you can sing praises to God, sing about the blood of Jesus Christ, learn about the Bible. I understand some of that. But isn't that a sad attitude that we've come to in this day? I don't have to go this Sunday. But these people here were seeking not just Christ. They were seeking mercy. The mercy of Christ. That's salvation. Lord, forgive me, a sinner. I'm trusting you and your finished work on Calvary. I believe in your blood atonement. I believe in your death, burial, and resurrection. The sick were seeking mercy. And then we see 14, we see the Savior. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves to the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. You know what he did? He answered their request. Affirmative. Have mercy on me. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, it doesn't matter if you're 7 years old or 107. If you ask him for mercy, he will give it to you. You go to him and he'll no wise cast you out. It's a repentant heart. It's a belief in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It's seeking mercy from the Savior. And he gave it to him. Interesting thing, I was just thinking about this a second ago. They were as good as healed already, right? Because he said it. He said, go show yourselves to the priest. You know what that means? When they got there, they were going to be healed. But on their way, they were cleansed. You know what the rapture, we're going to be healed? Permanently. But on our way, we should be being cleansed. Ephesians chapter 5, by the washing of the water of the word. Now, I'd quit tomorrow if I didn't believe that Bible helped me. I'd have quit a long time ago. I'd quit yesterday. You'd probably find me down at the bar doing, with a cigarette in one hand and a booze in the other. I'd quit. I would have no reason to do right. I have no compass. But I've got a book. I've got a Bible. I've got the Word of God. The sick, the seekers, the Savior. He wanted them to be cleansed when they got to the priest as a testimony of what Jesus Christ could do. We should want to be clean as a testimony of what Jesus Christ does and can do. Say, well, people just got a weird idea of who Jesus is. That's because Christians got a weird idea about living for Jesus today. Amen. Say, well, the Methodists, they got ashtrays out in the hallway. So what? Don't use them. Amen. Go to the church and don't have them. I don't know. Put it out in the parking lot. Something. So what? Well, the Catholics, they say this. That, so what? Don't do that. Well, the other Baptists, they say this. Well, don't do that. Do right. Because what it is we're on our way to see our priest face to face, our high priest. And he wants to cleanse us along the journey. He wants us to be better every day for him. I'll be honest with you, I struggle with that. Some days I struggle with that hard. I got an interesting phone call yesterday. I don't know if it's the wrong number or the right number, but I struggled with that phone call. One of these days that stuff's all gonna be over with. One of these days, my heart, my thoughts will be right all the time, and yours will too. But we should be getting more. Becoming more like Jesus Christ along the way. They were cleansed along their journey. They got to the priest. I don't know if the other ones went to the priest or not. But if they did, when they got there, they were clean. There was a difference in those people from the time they called out for mercy until the time they got to the end of their journey. I don't think that's the case a lot of times anymore. Unfortunately, I think a lot of people get saved, and that's where they stay, right there where they're at. They might get a little help from the Lord right then, quit a couple bad habits. Praise God, look at me, I'm better. Now I'm just going to go on about my business and do what I'm supposed to do for the flesh and forget about the Lord. But one of these guys didn't. But the sick, the seekers, the Savior, the sad response in 15 and 16, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. The sad response, well, that's a great response. Yeah, but it was only one. It's out of one out of 10. 10%. Isn't that something? What do you think? Maybe that's a sign. Maybe that's a sign in the last days of the church, 10% of Christianity is actually seeking truth. I don't know. I'm not going to make that a doctrine of the church, but isn't it interesting that he did the same thing for 10 people and only one of them showed any appreciation for it? Everybody in here saved by the blood of Jesus Christ? He's done the same thing for you. He's done for everybody else. Amen? I think we should all be thanking him. Amen? And I'm glad that I believe this is a church full of folks that want to thank the Lord and praise the Lord and be right with the Lord. Hopefully get better for the Lord. That struggle. But can get things under the blood. But the sad response is one. And that one, you know, he wasn't at Walmart waiting for somebody else to say, well, the Lord's good, and then we go, amen. You know what he was doing? Praise the Lord. Let me give my testimony. He's at the feet of Jesus Christ saying, thank you. And everybody around not only knew that that man was healed, but they knew why and how. They knew exactly what had happened. That Jesus that they're talking about, I just seen him heal 10 lepers. And I wasn't sure what happened, but one of them come back and thanked him. And then I knew what it was. Well, you know what it was? It was the Word of God. Jesus Christ himself. The sad response. But jump down to verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered him and said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. Now we see the spiritual kingdom. And here's where a lot of things get confusing. A lot of churches get confused. A lot of pastors get confused. A lot of churchgoers get confused. And all the Pharisees were confused. They were saying, tell us, when's this kingdom of God getting here? And he said, the kingdom of God doesn't come with observation. The kingdom of God's within. So, what was he always telling them? There was something wrong within them. We see the spiritual kingdom. You see, they didn't know, and I don't believe there would have been a difference if it wasn't for the Jews rejecting him. But there is a difference between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. They were both available when Jesus Christ was on this earth. And one of them was rejected. They rejected the kingdom of heaven, where he ruled and reigned, and the will of God, the will of the Father, was brought to this earth. His son ruling and reigning. And the Gentiles went after him and were placed in the kingdom of God, a spiritual kingdom, by trusting him as Lord and Savior. Pharisees didn't get that. A lot of Pharisees running out there today that still don't get that. I talked to him every once in a while, and I go, well, we believe he's got a spiritual kingdom, and he's spiritually ruling and reigning right now, and all this. And I'm like, no, that doesn't even make sense. Back up, pump the brakes, think about this. There is no way that you could look at this world and say Jesus Christ is spiritually ruling and reigning and with a rod of iron and the devil's bound. But he will. But the Pharisees are looking for something physical. The Jews were always dealt with more physically, and they were given physical blessings and physical promises. And he was trying to teach them something spiritual. And every time he tried to teach them something spiritual, they couldn't handle it. They couldn't deal with it. They couldn't understand it. And he tells them this kingdom of God is not with observation, it's something spiritual, because there's something spiritual wrong with the religious crowd. And he was trying to get them to see that. He was given an opportunity to see that. The spiritual kingdom. That's the one we're dealing with right now, the kingdom of God. We are part of the kingdom of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. And in 22 through 24, and he said unto his disciples, the days will come when ye shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and ye shall not see it. And they shall say to you, see here or see there. Go not after them nor follow them. For as the lightning that lighteneth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. We saw the sick, we saw the seekers, the Savior, the sad response to his mercy, the self-righteous Pharisees, the spiritual kingdom. Now we see the Son's return. The Son's return. When he comes back the second time, I'm not talking about the rapture, I'm not talking about us meeting him in the air. When he comes back to this earth, the world will know it. Look at this verse again. For as the lightning that lighteth out of the one part under heaven shineth unto the other part under heaven, so shall also the Son of Man be in his day. Say, well, how are they gonna know all around the world? It's God. Now, I don't know, the devil may use the internet, the devil may use AI, the devil may use holograms or whatever, the devil may use whatever, but God doesn't have to do that. So how can the sun shine on everywhere at the same time? It's pretty easy, he's God. pretty easy. He's got, then he'll be, well, it's dark 12 hours here and dark and light. Everything will be lit up by the presence of Jesus Christ. He's coming back and the world will know it. The world will know it. He's not sneaking in and taking over. He's coming back, and he's coming back with a rod of iron to take that kingdom from the devil, to take over a kingdom that was his righteously to start with, to sit on that throne of David, to rule and reign perfectly like never has been before, and to give man a chance under perfect rule and reign to do right. The Son's return. I'm just about done. I want to look at one thing and then we'll go. Look at verse 11 again in chapter 17. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I want to look at the set destination. A set destination. John chapter number 4. We just read in verse 11 of Luke 17. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem. Look at John chapter 4, verse 40. So when the Samaritans were come to him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. You know what that is? The Samaritans were the outcasts. The Samaritans were the dogs. They were the rejects. That's a type of the church. It's a type of the Gentiles. And you know what he did? He hung out with the Samaritans for 2 days. A day is like 1,000 years. 1,000 years like a day of the Lord. Where was he headed before he started hanging out with the Gentiles for, or the Jew, or the outcast for 2 days? To Jerusalem. Where's he headed right now? To Jerusalem. He just chose to hang out with you and I for 2 days. But he's going to Jerusalem. And he will finish his journey. He will sit on that throne. He will get honor and glory. He will find people on this earth that deem him worthy, that will bow at his feet and give him glory, honor, and praise on this earth. And then there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. His destination hasn't changed. He just altered the timeline a little bit so he could hang out with you and I for a couple days. He's coming back soon. Real soon. I hope today, I hope yesterday, and we're just off a day. Amen. 2 days with the outcast. Here we are. We're wrapping up these days. Are you ready? Remember those lepers? They were cleansed along the journey. When they got back to the priest, they were clean. When your priest calls you out of here, when our high priest calls us out of here, will you be clean? I'm not talking about eternity. I'm talking about what will you be doing? Will you be in God's perfect will for your life when you hear come up with him? It could be. We could be. This church could be. And I hope we are.